You are listening to Hit Play, Not Pause, a feisty menopause podcast for active, performance-minded women. I am your host, Celine Yeager. Each week, I bring you advice from athletes, scientists, researchers, and other experts to help you feel and perform your best, no matter what your hormones are doing. This show is a production of Live Feisty Media. Hello, strong, feisty women. I hope you all are well. So I have a real treat for you this week. I had the opportunity to sit down with the legendary ultra runner, Pam Reed, which is really great timing because, as most of you likely know, women's ultra running is fire right now. We have Jasmine Paris just now breaking Barkley Marathon's history as the first woman to finish all five brutally, infamously difficult 20-mile loops in the 100-mile event's 35-year history. And of course, there's past Hit Play Not Pause guest Camille Herron, who just smashed a ton of records, including breaking the six-day women's world record by running 560 miles, racking up a staggering 220 laps of the 2.56 mile Lululemon Further course that they just did a few weeks back. And she averaged 93.38 miles of running a day. I mean, it's amazing. Mind-boggling stuff. And equally mind-boggling is what Pam Reed, who is now 63 years old, has been up to. Last summer, she finished the notoriously difficult Hard Rock 100 in Colorado in under the 48-hour cutoff, which by itself would be badass enough. But she did it a week after running the Badwater 135 in Death Valley, which came a week after completing the Western States 100-mile endurance run. That means she ran 337.5 miles in three events over a span of 22 days. Let that sink in and do yourself a favor and Google those events to just see how bonkers this really is. And this is just the most recent accomplishment of a very long, storied career. According to her 2022 Hall of Fame induction bio, Pam has also racked up at least 30 ultra wins, including 13 wins in races of 100 miles or more. In 2021, she became the 19th known person in the world to achieve 100 mile finishes, with at least 45 podiums in those 100 milers. She has also finished dozens of Ironman triathlons, collecting numerous age group titles along the way. She is also a mother and stepmother of five kids and now has grandkids. And she's had a remarkable, remarkable career in life, and it has not all been rosy. She has battled anorexia for many years in her past and has endured criticism for being a bad mom because she dared pursue a running career, you know, when women weren't really expected to do such things when they had children. So, wow, I really, really, really enjoyed sitting down and talking to her and also hearing about, like, how she is keeping it together now, because she's also hit some bumps recently. You know, most recently, she's battled a few significant injuries. And in 2021, a spectator walked out in front of her at Ironman World Championship in St. George, Utah, and she broke her right femur. Not a small break. Has a rod in it, soldiered on. And then she had a little training spill last October, right before the Kona World Championship. And she cracked her pelvis, didn't know it, did the Ironman. I mean, it's incredible. She just keeps on keeping on and on and on. And this week we talk all about how. I hope you enjoy this one as much as I did. I will put a link in the show notes to her upcoming big 200-mile run in Italy, the Tour de, I don't even know how to say it, Tour de Gans? Sorry, I don't know how to say this word. It is in Italy. It's in the Alps. I will put a link in the show notes so you can follow along. Okay, before we get to it, if you haven't yet, head on over to feistymenopause.com and sign up for my free weekly newsletter. It's fun and informative, if I much say so myself, and well, I'm the only one here, so there's that. But seriously, I really do hope you enjoy it. I really enjoy putting it together, and you know, it's called Feisty 40 Plus, so it's pretty much all the stuff that we need to know and inspiration and deep thoughts and all of that. So head on over to feistymenopause.com and check it out. While you're there, give us a follow on Instagram and Facebook at Feisty Menopause. Join our Hit Play Not Pause Facebook group. And as always, thank you for the continued great ratings and reviews. I work here in this little vacuum of an office by myself, so it makes my heart very happy. Speaking of having a happy heart, I also got a SpeakPipe message from a woman who went and got her LP little A and ApoB lipid levels checked after the Samia Mora cholesterol episode, and she learned she was at quite high risk and is now taking action and was appreciative, which is awesome. I love those kind of stories, so thank you for sharing. Finally, super quick, if you haven't yet, check out the sleep quiz from our new sponsor, Lagoon Sleep. Their pillows will 100% make your night's sleep better, and you can use the code HITPLAY, all caps one word, for 15% off your first purchase. I love my Otter pillow. All right, enough of me. Let's have a few words about our awesome sponsors and get on with the show. Good sleep. The one thing that sets you up for a great workout and a good day is quality sleep. We talk about it all the time here on the show, which is why I'm stoked to have Lagoon Sleep as a new sponsor. Because one of the most overlooked tools in a great sleep toolbox is the thing you literally rest your head on 8 hours a night, your pillow. A quality pillow is everything. Otherwise, you end up tossing, turning, punching, and folding your pillow, waking up with neck pain, and all the stuff that happens when your pillow doesn't meet your personal comfort needs. Say hello to the most comfortable sleep you've ever had with Lagoon. They start you out with a 2-minute personalized pillow quiz and then pair you with your perfect pillow. I got the Otter, a cooling adjustable pillow that is perfect for side sleepers who run warm at night like I do. It is a dream. It's fully adjustable, so I was able to get the perfect loft and support, and the cooling feature is everything. As someone who turned into a furnace every evening before menopause, I appreciate that the Otter is stuffed with shredded gel-infused memory foam, which instead of trapping heat from my neck and head, draws it away and dissipates it. It's truly delightful. I'm a good sleeper, and Otter has taken it to the next level with both support and cooling. Put my head down, good night, Irene. My Oura Ring confirms what little tossing and turning I was doing is gone. The beauty of the pillow quiz is you can get the perfect pillow that you need to and make your sleep the best sleep you can have. Go to lagoonsleep.com/hitplay and take the 2-minute quiz to find your perfect match, and then use the code HITPLAY, all caps one word, for 15% off your first purchase. Sweet dreams. For decades, running shoes have been researched, tested, and designed for men. Brands have relied on the shrink-it and pink-it approach to sell male shoes to female customers. That's why we are stoked to be working with Hedas. Hedas designs athletic footwear for women that elevates performance, safety, and style. Hedas has unlocked the science behind women's biomechanics through dedicated research and creates better shoes for women's performance. Some of Hedas' special features include a lower ankle collar to reduce rubbing on women's ankle bones, a breathable mesh toe box to allow for ventilation and accommodate female toe shape, a more narrow and reductive heel cup to reduce heel slippage and take pressure off the Achilles, a rounded instep that creates a snug fit through the middle to match the curvature of a woman's foot, and supercritical foam and a PBEX plate in the midsole to keep our legs going when the going gets tough. Hedas has 3 shoe models designed for different sessions: the Alma Cruise for your long runs, the Alma Tempo for training days, and the Alma Speed for pushing the pace. I've been running in the Alma Tempos, and they are a pleasure to train in. You can get your own pair of Hedas at Hedas.com and use the code FEISTY20, that's all caps, FEISTY20, for 20% off. Check it out today. We'll put a clickable link in the show notes to make it a snap. Okay, Pam, we made it happen. We have gotten a show, and I'm very excited to talk to you. You are you have had a legendary career that continues to this day. So I'm very happy to be sitting across from you here.
Oh, thank you.
So, bit of groundwork for anyone who doesn't know. You just turned 63, is that correct? Are you 63
yes.
now?
Yep.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
So I want to, before we get to present day, I want to like rewind and go in the backwards machine a little bit to your first, What I think of is like one of your first really landmark wins. You know, you were the first woman to win Badwater 135 outright, women and men, in 2002. And then you repeated that in 2003. And when I dug a little more, you were in your early 40s at that time. And I didn't realize that you beat Dean Karnazes to the finish in, yep. Was it 2003? I mean, you beat him by like, yes, 25 minutes. And then you appeared on David Letterman, which is amazing. So I guess my question for you is, at that time, was your goal to win outright? Did you think that was a possibility?
Well, because, you know, in 2002, when I won by so much, you know, and the reason I won by so much is my crew and my crew chief came up with this idea about spraying me. So, and so he invented
with
that.
Water.
He came up with that. Yes. Spraying water. And we went to, Home Depot and bought the spray, or Ace Hardware, and bought the spray that they, you know, you spray weeds with. So they'd put cold water in there and spray me down, and they stopped every half mile for the entire race, every half mile for 135 miles. And so ultimately what happened in the first year, the first man was 5 hours behind me, and the first woman was 11.
Oh my God.
So then, yeah, the second year I thought for sure I would win. I thought, you know, but from the get-go, I was in third place. So Dean was ahead of me and another guy, which I can never remember his name. But so I passed Dean on the first climb, Uptown's Pass, and he was really sick. So I thought, oh, he's gone. And then at mile 100, I passed the first guy, and I shook his hand and he was boiling. And I was so scared for him. So I told my crew, you know, maybe try to help him. But yeah, so then I was in first place overall. That was mile 100. And I'm thinking, I'm going to win. And then Chris Cosman, the race director, came up to me and said, Dean is right behind you. And so, you know, the last, I don't know, 25, 20 miles, I was going as hard as I could.
So for people who don't know, it's in Death Valley, which I just came from there last week, and it's March, and I thought of you. I was like, how in July does anybody do this? But like, do you have any recollection of what the temperatures were when you did?
Oh yeah, it was really like 125, 128. Jeez. And the difference now how they do Badwater and then is we started in the morning, you know, so we ran through Death Valley in the daytime where it was. So the first year I started at 6 a.m. and it was probably 100 degrees at the start. And then the second year I started, it was at 10 a.m. and that was 110 degrees. Yes. And it was, because what they do is they start like eight. Back then they started eight, nine, and 10. So, or no, 6, 8, and 10. And then they did, so they always did 6, 8, and 10. And what they wanted to do is try to, you know, put the more competitive people at the end, the faster people. So then they would all finish maybe closer together, something like that. Yeah.
Wow. So at that time, you know, after these two really big wins, were you thinking, you know, and then an appearance on Letterman, were you thinking, wow, I'm at the pinnacle here? Cause you know, you're 40, 41. Or were you thinking, I'm just getting started on something? You know, like how was your mindset?
Yeah, no, I didn't. I mean, you know what, honestly, I've never thought of age ever. Like I've never thought of age, but I just felt really good and I felt strong. And, so it was really cool. And I'm sure you've heard what happened a couple days ago, right? With Camille Heron.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, and she's 42. And yep. what's ironic about that? So we're talking 2002, 2003. So in, I think it was 2006, I ran the TransCon, that 6-day race in New York City.
Yeah.
And I was trying to break the world record then. And I ended up breaking an American record, but get this, it was I ran 491 miles and Camille just ran 460. It's crazy. not 460. She ran 560. I ran 491. She ran 560. Yes. And she's 42. So I think 40s obviously are, you know, obviously a pretty good time.
I would agree with that. Those were the best years of my professional career by far.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, especially in endurance sports, I think, in women. I've had Camille on the show, actually, and
yeah,
she's a really good egg. You know, I mean, speaking, I would like to also, in my research, I saw that you talked about menopause in 2010, and I was like, right on, because nobody was talking about it then. You know, you were on an interview for Endurance Press that I dug up, and you said, you know, you had just had like a really bad water, and you said, I did get hot, I got overheated. One thing that's going on is I'm going through menopause. And as a result, I get these hot flashes, you know, and you weren't sure if that was part of it. But, you know, it's interesting. I'd love to hear like your recollection of that time, a little bit more about how you experienced menopause at that point when, you know, you're sort of in these male dominated spaces and nobody's really talking about it the same way. Like, what was that like for you?
You know, I guess I kind of don't even remember that, but I do remember having some hot flashes. But, you know, you just take what you get, right? I mean, so I just finished my 115-100-mile run, so or more. And out of those, first of all, before menopause, I had my period at least half of those, if not 75%. So, you know, these women, they'll say, oh, I had my period. Well, that happened to me. Well, that happened to me in my third bad water. And it was just, and I ended up getting sick and not winning, you know, and getting second woman at that. So it was, you know, it's just something you have to deal with, right? What else are you going to do? And it's, we can complain about it, or we can just say, you know what, this is just the way it is and live with it. So, yeah.
And that's what you did. Do you remember how long it lasted for you? Like how long you had hot flashes?
You know, I was weird about the whole, my menstrual cycle and everything. I didn't start my period until I was 17 and it ended at 48. So was very short. Yeah. So but you know, the hot flashes, honestly, they still haven't gotten away, and I'm 63. And I remember a friend of mine who's in her 70s going, they don't go away.
Yeah. I have heard that as well. Yeah. mine are more just like warm waves at this point, but yeah.
And I know some people have it really bad, and mine was not that bad. So I feel for them, because it's not fun at all, you know?
Yeah. And you didn't, hormone therapy wasn't in the radar at that point.
No.
Yeah.
No. And you know, I'm also a triathlete, you know, I've done like 60 Ironmans, right? And you can't do that kind of stuff, you know, because I think some women have gotten in trouble with that, with the, whatever the drug is that you take, it's illegal.
Well, there are some women that I bring this up on the show all the time. So right now, a lot of women, I'm not on anything myself either, but like a lot of women are on like either an estradiol, you know, an estrogen and progesterone. Those are fine, but testosterone is increasingly getting thrown into the mix, as is DHEA. And the latter of those, if you get popped for those, you're out, you know, and that women really need to be aware of that, especially.
Yes.
I think DHEA doesn't come on many people's radars as something that is on the banned list, but it is. And it's just something that you should be aware of. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. You did. And this is total curiosity. In that same interview, when you talked about menopause, you had referenced that you had dropped out of bad water a couple of years prior from dehydration. And you sort of blamed it at the time on your high tech shirt that you were wearing. And you said, I only run in cotton, and I will only ever run in cotton. And I'm wondering if you've stayed true to those words.
Oh, 100%. I cannot run in that stuff. It might be, I don't breathe. It just, I couldn't breathe. And the cotton, you know, especially in Arizona or, you know, a bad water, any of, you know, these dry places where, so we have a home in Scottsdale, and, you know, whenever I run there, I went running cotton always. And it's so funny, because I mean, I've been saying this since 2002, and I think I just heard it come up like, oh, I'm going to just wear cotton. I'm like, really? Yeah. So anyway, yeah, I race in cotton all the time.
Have you also done that in, well, I mean, Hawaii is very humid. I just think here, yeah, where I live is very humid, right? So, I mean, you can have a sopping wet shirt that might never wick or dry on you. You know, I don't.
Right. Not, yeah. You're right. And, you know, yeah, here's the thing, like Hawaii, I'm in a bathing suit the whole time. So, yeah. And so I haven't now, I have run the Keys 100, which I'm running this year again.
Those are humid.
Yeah, so that's really humid. So normally when I'm there though, I'm just in a jog bra. Yeah. Where in Badwater the sun was so intense, which I guess the Keys, but I would just throw on a cotton shirt over and then it'll be wet a little. So in the Keys, maybe this year I would go with something because there's so many more types of clothing now, right? That you could get something really, really light that is sunscreen protected or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. All right. So let's talk about your most recent feat. Last summer you finished the notoriously difficult Hard Rock 100 in Colorado. For those who don't know, it takes you over 33,000 feet of elevation, 13 mountain passes, extreme, remote, steep, up and down in under 48 hours, which by itself is badass enough, Pam. But you did that a week after running the Badwater 135, which came a week after completing the Western States Endurance Run, which is another 100 miler. That means you ran like 337 plus miles over 22 days. I have a million questions about that, but you said yourself in an interview afterwards, you were surprised you survived it. Were there any moments that you didn't, like, of true doubt where you didn't think you were going to pull it off?
I really didn't because, you know, I was really confident. Well, actually, I take that back. So I felt like I was confident I could do all three in the beginning. Like my mind thought I can do this. I can do this. So, and then I went and did, Western. And I was really nervous about Western just because I've done it many times. Like that was my eighth finish. I've dropped out of Western one time, but you just forget, you know, that I can't believe how much I forget. I've done it so many
times.
That's
why you keep doing it.
Yeah, right. And that's the only reason, right? I mean, these 200s, I just did, oh my gosh, forget it. Like what am I doing out here? That's what I said. But Western States was so much fun though. It was so fun. And I had a great crew and I really didn't doubt. I mean, from the get-go, because of all the snow, I was way behind. I was slow, but I had enough cushion, luckily, the whole day. And it still was very slow compared. It was the slowest by far that I've ever run there. But I wasn't conserving. I wasn't trying to conserve or anything. It just is what the day brought for me, you know. But it was really fun. And then Badwater, oddly, I mean, I didn't even get hot at Badwater. It wasn't hot because I started at 10 o'clock at night. So, wow. I mean, yeah, so it was, and then Panamint was a little warm, but I just found myself kind of a little tired there. And then what happens, and I know better than this, but I had, how many people? We had four, or I had three crew people there. And I ended up getting paced probably too much because what happens in Badwater for me is I need to get in my own head so I can push myself because, you know, you want to walk. And I did so much walking, which is not normal for me at all there. And I wanted to break the age group record and I missed it by 2 hours because I was walking so much because we were talking and I was getting to know these people. It was fun. I'm like talking away. And then at the end, I'm like, oh, shoot, that was dumb. But yeah. And then the last one was Hard Rock. And you know what's funny? What happened there is it was so much fun because I'm over 60. I got to have pacers the entire time. So from the first 9 or 11 or whatever that is, the first little I did alone. But then from then on, I had pacers the entire time. So it was really kind of fun. And at the end, though, I must have been so tired. The last, like coming out of Telluride. So the beginning, I didn't fall then, but the last 11 miles, I fell 15 times. I kept, including, I had just changed all my clothes because, you know, it was getting to be night. And I put I put pants on, my gloves, my jacket. I fell in the water.
Oh, no.
So I was soaking wet. Oh, and then we, you know, and then you climb up and it gets really cold and there was snow up there. I fell probably 8 times on the snow, boom, boom, boom. And then the last 6 miles, I fell on my face 7 times.
That is
I kept
worst.
Tripping and my poor pacer's like, are you okay? And he's like shining his flashlight in my face. And yeah, luckily I was okay. But that I couldn't pick my feet up and I must have been tired.
That's like such an understatement. But you didn't hurt yourself in any of those.
No, thoughts. Thank goodness. Not at all, which was really cool. Yeah.
Wow, you were just so tired that you were relaxed. You just kept falling.
Yeah, I know.
Falling on your face is indeed the worst. I've been there.
It was incredible. It's like he goes, do you think you can fall anywhere else besides your face? How about you put your hands down? Oh, it was so fun.
So that does beg the question. You know, how I'd love to hear you speak a bit about how you're training. You know, this is like a 20-year span that we have just jumped from, you know, from these wins over Dean Karnazes to now and this triple that you just pulled off. How has your training evolved over the past 2 decades? And I'm really curious about your recovery process because we hear over and over and over again that like you just don't recover the same. You don't recover the same. And I'm looking at what you've done and you seem to be defying that axiom.
Well, I think, I don't know, I have to be blessed because I'll tell you what, I listen to podcasts all the time, running podcasts, all these different podcasts, and they're all, now it's all about, you know, like fueling and hydration and blah, 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 blah. And I did none of that. Like I have been blessed enough to, I work out every day, 3 to 5 hours every day. And I do, even back then, I'm probably, I don't know how many years now I've been doing yoga. So I do yoga 2 times a day. Okay. One in the morning, one in the afternoon. I run early before I go to yoga and then I'll run again and then I'll ride my bike and I'll go swimming depending on where I am. Cause we have a home in Arizona. So, but we live in Jackson Hole. But so when I go to Arizona, I get to go swimming and biking a lot more. I don't really right now, it's winter. So I haven't, and I have fat bikes here, but I haven't been on them. It's very consistent. I don't take a day off. I go. And, you know, I'll generally before a 100-mile run the week before I'll eat more. It's not necessary, and I don't taper. I don't do any of that tapering, or I don't, you know, it's especially now because I'm not going to win anything. So I just kind of continue my life, and I might back off a little before it, or try to sleep a little more, or whatever. But generally speaking, I've just been lucky. I've been so lucky, and even with these major injuries, I just find what I can do. So I'm not running as much right now because of this injury, but I'll run once a day, but I can bike a lot more, swim and do yoga.
So we'll get to this injury because we talked about that before I hit recording the second. But I am curious, when I'm listening to you talk, I hear a lot of cross training. So I'm wondering if there's a little bit of secret sauce in there that you're keeping a very robust engine, but not necessarily all the pounding from like a constant running schedule.
Yes, that's very fair. Like I ideally I would like to run 10 miles a day. That would be my, and you know, before it used to be 15. Mm-hmm. And those that 15 or 10 are broken up. They're not all at once. And I highly recommend that. I've always done that. I think it helps preserve your body. It helps you not get injured.
Camille does that too.
Right, right. I mean, I've always done it. It came to me because I had kids and I didn't have the ability to go out for that long. But I also it gets boring. You know, I just feel like it's just way, it just makes way more sense to me.
What's your longest run then? Like, what does that look like?
It's racing. You know, I race a lot. That's my thing, you know, and so even this year with, we'll talk about the injury, but I, you know, stupidly maybe, I did Arrowhead 135, then I did a 50K on a trail, which might have been really dumb. And now I just did another 100 pulling a sled. So that's three and it's March.
Why were you pulling a sled?
The drift. It's a,
I don't know
it's
what the drift is.
Oh, you don't? So mm-mm. Both, they, oh, okay, I'm sorry. So Arrowhead 135 is pulling a sled. In International Falls, Minnesota. That was the end of January into February. And you get 60 hours to finish 135 miles. And the sled has all of your everything you need to, like, bivy, which means it's a bivy, which, yep. And a pad. So the bivy is kind of like your own tent in a way.
Yep, I know
it's
what that is.
Right.
And are you on snow?
On snow. Oh, yeah. It's in International Falls, Minnesota, where normally it's negative 20. This year it was 25 degrees. It was crazy. Hardly any snow, but we were dragging it on grass, actually, because they hardly got any snow. And that was then. And then I was, I just did the drift this past weekend, which is 100 miles climbing 10,000 feet, again with the sled. And it was, we a lot more snow, and it got to be 0 degrees at night, but it was like 25 in the day. It was warm, you know, but it starts off, it's zero, and then it's, you know, it's cold in the morning, 1 degree, 5 degrees, and then by afternoon it's 25. It took me 45 hours to do that. So it was, but it's really close to my house here in Jackson, so it was only an hour away. So what a treat to be able to just put my sled in my car and just drive. And it's a bizarre thing, but it's really surreal. You know, you're out there by yourself in the dark and the freezing cold going over the Continental Divide. Wow. So it was cool.
Musculoskeletal health is everything during menopause. Everyone knows how much I love Joint Health Plus from Prevenex, which has helped me get back to distance running after arthritic toes stopped me in my tracks. Now they have a product that has become my go-to for muscle strength and recovery, Muscle Health Plus. Muscle Health Plus contains all the key ingredients we talk about on this show, like creatine monohydrate, essential amino acids, and branched chain amino acids, plus even more cutting-edge ingredients like HMB and estrogen that are scientifically shown to increase muscle growth, recovery, and strength. I use it every day during my early morning lifting sessions, and there's no question that it helps my power during those workouts and my recovery after. Plus, I love having everything I need from the best high-quality ingredients in one reasonably priced shake. I've also heard from fellow users who have had bloating or GI upset in the past from creatine that haven't had any of that with Muscle Health Plus. I make my shake with almond milk and espresso, but it's also good with ice-cold water, which makes the flavor really pop. As always, you can get 15% off your first order with the code HIPPLAY, all caps, one word, at Prevenex.com. That's HIPPLAY, all caps, one word, at Prevenex.com. Do your muscles a favor and head on over and get some today. What is your recovery process? Do you have, what do you do when you're done? Do you have any special recovery tools or practices?
No, you know what's funny is after every 100 I do, I have beer.
That is the secret. You heard it here.
That's the secret. There it is. It just helps me. I don't know. The last three 100 mile runs that I did the Stagecoach in September. Then I got hurt in October, and then now I did these 200s. I've gotten sick again. I throw up in the middle of them, and I had it down for a while. And now, you know, I try the same thing. And then I was doing sweet potatoes with coconut oil and salt, and that was working, but it didn't work at Stagecoach and didn't work at Arrowhead. So I changed this one to rice, and that didn't work. So it comes and it goes, you know?
Yeah, the healing process.
But recovery, you know, I just listen to my body. Normally, the next day I get up and run. I go for a little run, you know, 3 miles or something like that, or bike ride or swim. And it doesn't feel great at all. You know, you're heavy in the water. It feels like you're going through mud. But, you know, in a couple days, I feel fine. And right now, this is like the drift. It was, again, I finished Sunday morning. Today is Thursday. I'm still tired, but I'm doing yoga. I ran today, but you know, not far, 6 miles, and I swam 1,000 yards, and so.
And you had mentioned, you know, the injury. So let's address that. You have a cracked pelvis. Is that correct?
Yeah, and it's healing. And I think what happened, yeah, this was in October at the Ironman in Kona. It happened before the race. And I
so
didn't
you
even
still
know.
Race. Like somebody, your friend bumped your back tire on a training ride and you fell.
Right.
Did you know that you were injured right away?
No. Well, I thought I went down on my whole right side again, which everything that I've ever done is on my right side.
We all have a side.
Right. And it's my right. And my shoulder, I thought maybe I broke my collarbone, or, I mean, I couldn't move my arm. It just felt like this thick, heavy. And I thought for sure I broke it. And my son was there and he was golfing. And when I got back, he looked at it and he goes, you know, he's broken his collarbone twice. He goes, your collarbone's not broken. So I was moving it around. And the next day I went swimming and it was a little painful, but you know, so this was Wednesday I fell. Thursday I swam. Friday I ran and swam and I felt fine. And then I got to the race and I swam. I did a normal swim for my time. I rode the bike. I was a little slower, but I got to the run and oh my gosh, I couldn't. I was walking and then I could run a little bit, but it was painful. Yeah, my groin, it hurt quite bad, but I finished. So
you finished.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was your time, if I can ask?
Oh, now I can't even. It was the slowest I've ever done. I don't know, 14 something. Yeah.
That is still remarkable with that situation. I've got to tell you, I knew it was like, I had looked it up and I knew it wasn't, I know slow for you, but like, it is remarkable. Just considering that you, you know, you're nursing an injury.
Yeah. Yeah. It was it. And then after, you know, I went back and I got an MRI and that's what it showed. And it should be, and I think it was almost healed. So I probably did something about a month ago because I was getting way, way better. And then I was trying to put all the things together, what happened. But so now it's still there, but it's weird because I can run, but I have to run slow. So if I run by myself, it's better, you know, because I'm running really slow. Like we're talking 14 yeah. minute miles yeah. and I can do that. But as soon as I get with somebody and I'm doing 11 minute mile, that's too much on it. So I got to back off. I need to run alone and just do my thing and it'll get better.
What is, have you had, you know, especially because, you know, you're a slender white woman and older. Had you had bone density tests? Like, do you have?
Yes, I have. And yes, it's not good at all. But I was also anorexic, you know, for 15 years.
We were
going to
talk
years.
About that. Yeah, I was going to ask that. Yeah.
So no, my bone health is not good. However, I mean, again, this is just my own brain saying this, but you know, for instance, I fell 15 times in Hard Rock. I didn't break. But when I'm riding my bike 20 miles an hour and I get hit and I fall hard, I would think a lot of people would break. And maybe not, you know, maybe I'm in denial about that. But so I don't know. But
you've healed. I mean, you broke your femur in St. George.
Yes,
when you
exactly. And I healed and I healed really fast. And see, this is my other theory. And I asked a doctor about this and they're like, oh, maybe. But so I have a rod in my femur and I have a screw in my right, in all of my right side. So I fell on my right side. So my theory is though that metal just didn't absorb. So it caused my pelvis to fracture. That's my guess. That's, I don't know, but it's fractured. So whatever.
Yeah. I mean, it's who knows? But yeah, to your point, who knows? But you are clearly healing and continuing.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
Do your doctors give you their blessing, or do they just shake their heads and go, "You're going to do whatever you want to anyway"?
Yeah, they kind of I they do the latter.
Do you strength train?
Well, not per se, but you know, I've been doing the Pilates classes and not on the machine, but like, so, you know, I do push-ups and sit-ups and, but I don't do weights, but you know, I swim. So swimming, I feels like upper body, not probably not enough though. You're supposed to lift heavy weights, right? And biking, I feel like it's a workout on your legs, and mostly I've been doing a lot of fat biking on trails in Arizona. But yeah, so the answer to that question is no, but I keep thinking about it. Like I need to put that in.
I would encourage you to. I mean, just because I'm such a, I am definitely evangelical about strength training.
Yes.
I do think it helps, especially with that resiliency over time.
But I mean
I'm talking like you're crushing it, so I don't know if it'll just be marginal gains for you, but I do I think that there's only upsides to it.
Yes, I agree, and I just need to, you know, I gotta put it in my little routine, and I go in when I'm in Arizona. I go to this gym where I swim, and there's a beautiful gym. All I have to do is go for 30 minutes and do some things, and I know what to do. It's just like I got to add it. So that's what I'm leaving for Arizona on Sunday. So that's what I'm gonna do. I'm just gonna add 30 minutes of that just to start with, and then
perfect.
It's a good idea.
Perfect. Love it. All right, let's talk a bit. You mentioned you have kids, which, again, you know, especially in those times, like I know when I was racing, like I was one of the very few women who had children, you know, who was lining up. Talk a bit about running as a mom, especially back before we had this groundswell of female athletes, you know, that are sort of making motherhood and athletics the norm. You told women's running, for me, the second I had a child, I had guilt, you know, which I think we all do. But that didn't stop you. You had two more kids. You have three grandbabies. Like, how has that journey been, and how have you incorporated them into your missions to like do all the things that you do?
Well, we, you know, back there, I would push them in jogging strollers, and there's something within me that feels like I've been put on this earth to do this thing, like, and to continue to do it. So I kind of feel like this is sort of a job for me, and I pray that, and I guess here's a funny story. Just a couple days ago, I finished the drift. I'm in Jackson, and my youngest son's name is Jackson, and he's a pharmacist, and he doesn't live here. He lives in Denver, and his two friends that he grew up with in high school, they were in Jackson, and I was going to a UPS store or something, and I said to him, and also, you know what? Granted, it was like one day, this was Monday after I finished on Sunday. So I'm still pretty tired, and I'm emotional and blah, blah, blah. But so I see them, and I told them what I did, and they're like, "Oh my gosh, you're such a badass." And I said, "Yeah, well, my kids don't think so. And Jackson thinks I'm, you know, just hates this stuff, you know, and this is a, these are 28-year-old guy." He started crying, and he said, "You have no idea," and it's going to make me cry, "how Jackson feels about you."
Aww.
And see, boys, they don't tell me that. They, you know, it's like, I still feel guilty. Seriously, I do.
Oh my God.
So because when I wrote my book, I would get all these people saying, "Oh, she must be a really bad mom," you know? So yeah, it's so crazy. And I still have that because, and I love what I do. I have a ridiculous amount of energy. You know, you should have seen me Monday. I mean, I was tired and emotional, but I had so much energy on Monday. Now, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, it's coming back a little, but I do definitely go through exhaustion, you know, where I'm just dragging, you know, but it only usually, I mean, up until Cocodona 250, I could bounce back in 5 days. But now it's taking longer. Kokodona took me a month. Badwater, like I did Badwater in 2015, and that took me 10 days. So it just depends on what I've done and where I am. And, you know, if I feel for me, when I do a race, if I can get right back into my routine, my body recovers faster than sitting around.
How old are your grandchildren?
5, 6 months. And wow. Then I have 2 stepsons with kids too. And then there's a 4, a 4, and a 2.
Wow.
So yeah. We have a lot of grandchildren and lots of kids. And they're all boys, 5 of them.
Wow. Yeah. Do any of them run like you do?
Yeah, my stepson, we helped him, Greg, do 100. He's done 4 100s, and he did one in Bend, Oregon. It was really cool. We helped him. Yeah, that was fun.
Very cool.
And the other ones run, you know, for exercise. A couple, I think. My youngest one doesn't. He golfs. He could run, but he doesn't like it. So maybe someday he will. He's only 29 or 28. So yeah, he has time, I guess.
if he wants to.
Yeah.
But I do. I think I'm sorry you still carry around that guilt. I wish I could take it right off of you. I understand. Yeah. But it is your calling and it is your job, and you've inspired a lot of people. And I'm sure that your family is proud.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, and you know, doing, I ask myself, you know, because of course I get tired. Yeah. Do I get tired? And in the middle of these hundreds, of course, they're crazy. But it's, you know, in the after, it's always better, you know, and during, that's what the cool thing about these winter running, it's just the camaraderie there. It seems way more than in regular 100-mile runs, which I know there's a lot of camaraderie there too. But it's just, I think when the difficultness goes up, the camaraderie
definitely comes together. Definitely. Yeah. When you're doing something so wacky, like running in the snow, pulling sleds. I know what I mean. Like it amps it up.
Yes, exactly.
So talk a bit about, you know, you told Women's Running that you have to be okay with slowing down. You know, they had like this 5 tips from Pam Reed. And that, man, that's easier said than done. You know, like what has your process been to sort of find serenity with that? Because it's true. Like all of us, like you can still obviously crush it and kick ass and do all these things, but it is an inevitability that we will lose a step and slow down. So like, how have you adjusted your mindset? What has that been for you?
You know what is funny? This is unbelievable. And I always feel like things happen for reasons, you know? And these 2 broken bones that I have had for the last 2 years, because I am totally struggling with people passing me and not going as fast. But because of these injuries, it's almost like, okay, I have to. I have no choice. So that's what's happened just in this last 4 or 5 months for me. And I keep hoping that it's my speed will come back and I'll get a little faster. But I, you know, it's really difficult to embrace and let, you know, all these, I mean, it's amazing. Like you said, all these new moms, how fast they are. And I'm a little concerned and saddened by how ultra running is becoming so much about speed and how fast they're all running. And but that's the thing, that's, they're just faster, that's the way it is. But that's all that's talked about, you know. And they come back to it a little bit about how, you know, it's all about just, you know, enjoying the thing. But you know, no, they're taking it to this huge level, which is bound to happen. You know, it's what happens. People get better, technology comes along, nutrition comes along, and there's so many more things happening now.
And within yourself, do you find yourself, I think I agree with everything you said. I also feel like sometimes the hardest comparison is comparison to self. Yes, and I'm wondering, yeah. you know, if you wrangle with that as well.
Oh, of course. Yes. You know, what was funny? When years and years and years ago, I was training for some Ironman or something. We were getting bike ride. And this guy who was would take all these women on bike rides. And he'd go, you know, you can't go faster on every bike ride. and that's how our brains think, you know, well, I got to go faster. Well, you can't, you just can't. And so you got to be okay with that. And I've always said, and to this day, I do this, every race I do, I will do the best I can. So I don't have an A race. I don't have a B race. I don't have a C race. I have every race I go to, I'm going to do the best I can. I'm not going to hold back for something, or I'm just going to do the best I can.
Do you go into it with a time frame in mind? Do you have a goal time?
Sometimes, but lately, you know, with my injury, it's like, no, I just said it's for sure just to finish, which is crazy because I don't like that at all. That's not who I am, but that's where I am. So hopefully it'll come back. And yes, I will have a goal time. I mean, like I said, at Badwater, it was to go under 33 hours and I didn't do it. So yeah. And normally, you know, the old Pam, when I used to know exactly how fast I could run, I was going to run this and that, I have no idea right now. So, you know, we'll see what happens, but it'll come back, you know, and then it's still not going to be what I used to be able to do, but that, you know, that's okay too.
Maybe a strange question, but has the pain of running these things changed at all? I mean, ultimately there's going to be pain, right? Like you're going to run into some pain. Has the quality of that changed? Do you have the same kind of pain, but you just like to do this for such a long time, like I'm just curious if you've changed your relationship with it. Do you have different kinds of pain? Do your joints hurt more or less? Like, what is that? What has your relationship with pain been, and how does it continue? Like now that you're into your 60s,
you know what? You know what I think the answer to that question is? I forget. Honestly,
that is the key to all of it.
That's the key, and. You know, that's why I had three children. That's why, you know, you forget because the pain it's intense. I mean, and sometimes it's more intense than others. It's probably, and some days my pain threshold is way higher than others. I was just in this Pilates class today and I was getting, you know, they were doing burpees and, you know, stair climbers. And I looked, it was funny because I looked in the mirror and I just said, I'm like, okay, just relax. And it was easier, you know, so I was able to do that in that class. But, you know, in running, I'll tell you, I mean, the drift, let me tell you, that was painful. And I have done it. I've done it five times. One time I dropped out. So I finished four there. And let me tell you, the pain, it was intense. It was like, I was so exhausted and they added 2 miles at the end this year. Oh, it was just like, just keep going. You're going to get to the finish line. It was, yeah, no, the pain has not gotten easier, but like I said, I just forget. I go to the next one and that's why I get up the next day and I just start again. And I almost forget that I even did that 4 days ago, you know?
You talk a lot in your interviews about having an attitude of gratitude, for lack of a better way to put it, that you are like when you're out there, like, you know, the races where you're not feeling that gratitude and maybe you're in your head more are the ones that you speak like less favorably about. Do you find even when like these past couple ones when you're struggling with what you're struggling with, do you still have that gratitude out there?
Oh, I majorly have it. Like, I know, in the back of my head, I probably shouldn't even be here. But then part of me thinks, so you know what? And I know people who listen to this might think, you know what? She's being so stupid because she's not listening. But I look at it like every time I've gone to a doctor, they tell me, oh, you know, 8 weeks, 10 weeks, 12 weeks, go 12 weeks. And I think, where do they come up with that number? How do they know that? You know, so I'm kind of trying to defy that. And right now it's probably not exactly working, but it is sort of working because I am, believe it or not, I am listening. I'm listening in my own little way. And like this morning I ran and then I never do this. I was tired. I took a nap. I laid back down because I woke up at 4 a.m. and then I laid back down and I was going to go to this Pilates class and I woke up and I'm like, okay, I'm not going to go to the Pilates class. I'm not going to go. And I, in the back of my mind, I said, you know what? If you go, you're going to feel so much better. And sure enough, exactly, I did. And so that's kind of my mantra or whatever, that I know that if I do it, I'm going to feel better because it's happened time and time and time again for me. So I don't know. That's how I live my life. And I've always done it. And, I don't, you know, and it's not like, you know what, I go to acupuncture, I go to massage, I do a lot of things. I don't know if you've heard of, it's called Jolt in Scottsdale. It's these beds that you lay on and it's like a vibration. And it's actually even, it's by the FDA for healing bones. Oh, so wow. I lay on this and I do that. Like when I'm there, I do it 3 times a week. And they put, you know, it's like a vibrator and then
I
they
understand.
Put something. Yeah. It's cool.
Oh, that's very cool. That's very cool. Very cool. So continuing on the mental side of things, you alluded to, you know, the 15 years of anorexia and you've been very open about mental health challenges from depression to suicidal ideation to the anorexia. Was there a time in your life when these things were at their worst?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was at my worst for 10 years. And that's actually when it was anorexic. That was when it was the worst. Because, you know, I was so unhealthy.
What time was that?
That was when, so I was purely 15 to 30. So in between there. And after, you know, I was hospitalized twice in there. And so after 30, I just decided that not eating was not an option. You know, I can't eat. I have to eat. So I forced myself and I still, eating is not, I love the idea of, I love to go out to dinner, but the eating part is not always I don't necessarily like to eat, but I make myself eat and I mean, I eat everything. I mean, I'm not like a vegan or a vegetarian or any of that.
I assume, because I don't know your way back history, I assume you were running during that period of time?
Oh, the whole time. Yes, I started running when I was 15, but not, I know. And they're like, oh, and the reason I started running at 15 was when I was in all these sports. I was a gymnast, a cheerleader. I was on track and I played tennis. And out of all those sports, I wanted to do something in college. And I decided tennis is going to have to be it so I started playing for 4 hours a day and my coach said I should run. So that's why I started running.
Oh, wow.
And in, you know, in the beginning, I guess, you know, I was just lucky with this anorexic thing because I mean, it got worse probably in college and I played tennis in college, but, I was just lucky enough to survive it. You know, I didn't lose. I got down to 90 pounds and, you know, right now I weigh 100 pounds. So I survived and I don't know how to tell you the truth, but.
Do you know, I mean, I also had a bout and it was college as well, with anorexia and bulimia. And I sort of got out of it the way I came into it, you know, and it was through cycling, you know, and also realizing that I didn't, like if I wanted to do this thing, they couldn't coexist. Yeah. Do you know when you sort of turned the corner on your own?
Yeah, well, it was at this hospital, but and I must have been I was 30, I think, and these, you know, normal looking people were running through plate glass doors, and And I just said, you know what? I'm not this crazy. I'm just going to start eating. Yeah, eating is, and that, speaking of bike race, when I got out, I wanted to do, it was called El Tour de Tucson. It's 112 or whatever mile around Tucson. And I said, I can't do this without fueling myself, you know, so, and fueling is a way better a term to use to help people maybe to try to do that. You got to fuel to be able to go. So, yeah.
Yeah, and you spoke to like the depression; those things also go hand in hand. I mean,
yes,
yeah,
yeah. Because when you're starving yourself, you're not thinking straight. You're nothing's moving as well. Just everything. Yeah. Food is a very important thing.
yes, it is. How do you is that in your distant past in your head, or do you still have to work with your mental health to this day?
Oh, I still go through depression, and I think, you know, I forever didn't take any supplements or vitamins or anything. And so I started taking D3, and I think that's really helping because I haven't been depressed now in a while. So that, and also it might have to do with being able to go to Arizona more where the sun is, because I love sun. So yeah, that's interesting. I hadn't even thought about that, but yeah, because I get totally depressed, and then I get, you know, I just get hard on myself. I'm just really, I want to, you know, do this, this, and this. And again, when you said, you know, do you have a time, you know, when I go really slow, it's like, you know, I'm mad at myself, but
yeah,
that's just the way it goes, I guess.
there's some human nature in there.
Yeah.
You know, I think finally I would love to ask you, like, when you look forward, you know, I know you're working through injuries, but this seems like you're doing well working through them. I've read several interviews where you've talked about running across America as one of your big goals, maybe doing Ultraman. Like, what do you have your sights set on going forward, and like, why? What speaks to you now?
Yeah, I really do want to run across America, and I have this friend who is an RV, and I really want to do it just to just experience that and the country. I just think it's the coolest thing. I wanted to do it since I was 40 and now I'm 63. So that's one, but I'm excited. You know what? I got into Tour de France. So have you heard of that?
Mm-mm.
That's a 200 mile run. 204 or something, but it climbs 80 to 90,000 feet in 200 miles in Italy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, and it's in September. So I'm excited to do that. And I've done Tour de Mont, you know, I've done Mont Blanc or UTMB. And so those things, and this year I'm doing the Keys, and I'm third on the wait list of Hard Rock. So that'd be kind of fun to get back there. I'm doing an Ironman at the end of April, which I was just telling myself, you know, the Tour de France and Ironman Nice, it's in the world championship is in Nice this year. So I'm not going to be able to do it because it's on that Sunday after. So in a way it's good because I'm just going to go, and I just need to finish this Ironman because I just want to go
April.
And get, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Texas. Yeah.
Wow. Well, we will be following you. I will, you know, put some links in the show notes so people can follow along in your journey. Is there anything that we haven't talked about that you would like to sort of leave this active audience with that you think they could benefit from or that you'd like to share?
Yeah, I would, because again, as I've been listening to all these podcasts, and the other thing they talk a lot about is coaching. And I would like people to know that you got to kind of listen to your body. You got to listen to yourself of what you can and cannot do. And, you know, sometimes when you have a coach, they might have a one plan for you, and you, especially women with children, you know, and lives, and families and husbands. And, you know, so it, for me, having coaching a coach, I couldn't even imagine them telling me what to do, because it's like, I would feel guilty that I couldn't do the workout because my kid was sick, or I have to get him to soccer. And I'm sure they're working on all that together too, but, it was so much, you know, the number, if somebody told me I had to run 18 miles on this one day and I just didn't feel right, I would feel like, oh my gosh, I'm a failure. You know, where if, you know, you can, I think pretty much a lot of us, we can do this stuff on our own. I mean, you can figure it out because you know what your life is like. You know what you can do and what you can't do. So yeah. And the other thing is, you know, listening to, after doing a race on like this resting thing, I mean, maybe try to do a little more movement, because I feel like that helps you recover faster. This is from way back when I listened to Dave Scott, the professional triathlete, like he called it active recovery, you know, and I just feel like that's really worked well for me. Your body, because if you just sit, oh my gosh, I just like, I feel rigor mortis is setting in, you know?
Yeah. No, you never feel worse. Do you yeah. follow a structured plan for yourself? Like, do you do intervals or do any of that? Or you just go totally by?
Yeah. No.
That was an eye roll for anyone who's just listening.
Yeah. I don't do anything like that. Again, I don't like the structure, because I feel like I want to savor my running. I want to protect it so I don't get sick of it. And honestly, like, just a couple, maybe at the Drift, like I was thinking to myself, do I want to keep competing? And that's what I know you asked a couple questions ago, like your times and. So I really would like to let go of that part, because then it won't be so much pressure on my head, you know, and just say, I want to go and enjoy this thing and be outside and look at the trail and really enjoy it and not worry about the time. And I know there's the cutoff time. I mean, but otherwise it's like, it's okay. It's okay just to finish.
Yeah. I think that's a great mic drop, and I think that's a good place to end it, because I 100% agree. And there's many ways to engage in all of these pursuits, and you seem to follow where your heart takes you. And I think that that has obviously led you very well in this life. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. This has been really fun.
Well, that's our show. Come on back next week for a great thought-provoking conversation with Caroline Paul, the author of Tough Broads. It is an amazing read about older women pursuing adventures and all the benefits it brings. I loved everything about this one, and I am sure you will too. So come on back for that. And until then, as always, stay feisty. You've been listening to Hit Play, Not Pause, a feisty menopause podcast for active, performance-minded women. I'm your host, Celine Yeager. The show is edited and produced by the strong, talented, and amazing women at Live Feisty Media. Follow us on social media at Feisty Menopause, and please help us spread the word. Screenshot and share this episode on your social media channels with the tag @FeistyMenopause. Share the show with your friends. And please subscribe, like, review, and rate this show wherever you get your podcasts. Word of mouth and good reviews make it easier for other listeners to find. Thanks for listening, and as always, stay feisty.